the Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
PetroMart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry? PetroMart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items, like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. PetroMart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. PetroMart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
Who's ready for a USDA Prime steak? You won't find USDA Prime beef at the grocery store because it's graded as the highest 2% of beef sold in the country, and its supply is gobbled up by all the finest restaurants. At Surf and Sirloin, located on eastbound Manchester Road just west of 270, that's what's on the menu. USDA Prime, 14-ounce New York strip, 16-ounce ribeye, 22-ounce porterhouse, or a barrel-cut filet mignon. And with fresh seafood flown in daily, Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
water sucks. It really, really sucks. Water sucks.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller.
You can do it.
Adam Sandler's
at my feet. Yes. On the sunny side of the street.
Whoa, did you hear me manhandle my microphone?
There you go, yeah. You don't mess around with that thing.
First day. Oh, that's another one where Henry Winkler is in that movie, Waterboy.
You know? Yeah, he's in a lot of his movies. And in Little Nicky as well.
Yeah.
Waterboy's funny.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Bobby Boucher.
Oh, man. One of those days. You ever have a day where all you really want to do is take a nap? I never saw so much lightning, continuous lightning, in my life as last night.
Oh, man.
It was almost like there wasn't a break in the lightning. It was just constant, like flashes at the Academy Awards or something.
It was pretty cool, though. I mean, it was neat to watch.
Yeah, but did you see what it was like at about 2:30 in the morning?
Yes.
That thunder woke me up.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that's all I saw, like, heard of it or experienced.
I was in the casino being a pathetic loser.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I was mad. And I came out hating myself, as I do a lot. And I walked outside, and I thought, what? And then I had to make it home. And every time I drive in a blinding rain, like real heavy rain, I have a flashback to what happened to me a few years ago on Wild Horse Creek Road. It was raining. You couldn't see very well. And a deer, a big one, ran right out in front of me, rolled up on the hood of the car and took the windshield out completely.
Oh,
and it all came in my lap. The deer tried to fall in my lap, but he was so big he couldn't get through the windshield, so he finally slid off. The whole windshield. You know how a windshield breaks? It breaks into giblets of like diamonds. I drove it home crippled. One wheel's bent. It's barely able to limp home. And it's raining on me. And I get home and I have rain and watered down deer blood all over me.
No.
And I had glass in my shoes, in my collar, in my ears. I would have had it in my hair, but I don't have any hair. Glass everywhere. $13,000 body job for that car.
Man.
That was that was a weird
day. Did he have insurance?
The deer?
Yeah.
No. But you know what I was glad of? I don't know if it was a buck, but if it had been a buck and those antlers had come through that window,
it could have killed you.
Stabbed me right in the throat.
Remember that lady? There was a lady that got killed on 40 down there in the valley.
You mean down in the valley?
Yeah.
Valley so low, hang your head over, hear the wind blow.
You guys are all crazy.
Tim Hayes.
Well done.
Tim Hayes.
poor woman who died, and you guys are singing about it.
That's well, what no. you do. Have you ever been to a funeral? Well,
no. We've
been to a
funeral. Where it was.
No, sometimes what? They sing at a funeral to lighten the mood.
And this was years and years and years ago.
Yeah, she's been dead long.
Yeah, it's before it was before all that stuff was in down in the.
I have a rule book that says when it's appropriate to sing when someone dies. It's paragraph 8, subsection 12, page 324. It says singing an upbeat song immediately after someone's demise is in poor taste and vulgar and crude. The person needs to have been dead for at least 5 years. How long ago was that, Dan?
Oh, 20 years ago?
Well, we're good.
At least 20, maybe more than that.
We're good.
But yeah, the deer, she was just driving down the highway, and the deer just jumped out in front of her, and it was a buck, and it impaled her.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
What did the doe say when she staggered out of the woods? What? That's the last time I'll do that for $5.
Nine.
Thank you.
That's good.
I'm assuming that's on a...
I'm putting that one in my phone.
I'm assuming that's on a 1 to 10.
That's on a 10 scale.
Yeah. And that's what you kind of have to do or you'll forget it. You have to make some kind of note.
Yes.
I don't for some reason, but I have learned over the years that 99% of people do not remember 99% of the jokes they've ever been told or they've ever heard. I'll tell you what bugs me. You ever watch like an HBO special? Let's say it's George Carlin or somebody, and you're laughing, Chris Rock, and you laugh. And then you try to tell somebody about it. You can't remember one joke.
Yeah,
can't remember the story, the punchline,
no,
anything.
No, but they were all really funny. And you're thinking, oh, man, this is funny. I got to tell that joke. And you can't remember it.
Have you ever been called out by a comedian at a comedy show?
I've never been to many comedy shows, maybe two in my life, so no.
I have twice.
Called out for being a heckler or called out in a good way?
Well.
No, just called out to the audience.
Well, no.
Right.
No, I mean, like we're a comedian, sometimes they try and interact with people in the
crowd.
Oh,
sir, is that your wife?
Single you out?
Is that your wife you're with?
That kind of thing, yeah. That's happened to me twice. The first time I was evicted from the comedy club because of my reaction to the comedian. And the second time was with Daniel Tosh at the Chaffetz Arena. And he told the most, it started off like in a neutral way. And he said, is there anybody here who's over 40? And never had children, and I raised my hand. I was in like the fourth row.
Why
so,
would you do that?
Well, he called. I don't know. Because whatever. It's idiot. Like, you know, how could that possibly how could that possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong with pointing your?
Can.
You know, yeah, it went bad. It was actually very funny, but it's the last time I'll do that.
And then what did
you know he? I'll say this, but I want to make sure that everybody understands that this is Daniel Tosh saying this, not me.
Now, you know a lot of people know who Daniel Tosh is. He's a comedian.
He's a comedian on Comedy Central.
Was that Tosh.0?
He's the host of Tosh.0.
Let me ask you, was the concert good?
It was incredible.
Okay.
It was very good. It was a very unique comedy show because he had other people on the show. He'd come out and do 20 minutes of comedy, and then somebody who's on the show would come out and do a 15-minute bit. Then he'd do a 20, and somebody else on the show would come out and do a 15. So it was like a rotating kind of carnival of comedians. Right. I had no idea this is where he was going with this. And you got to remember, Daniel Tosh gets away with murder. I mean, he makes fun of black people, Jewish people, fat people, white people. I mean, there is Catholics, everybody. I mean, just
like Don Rickles.
Everybody just gets the hammer. And he goes, is there anybody out here? Is there anybody in the audience who's over 40 years old that's never had children? And several guys raised their hand. I kind of limply kind of like this.
Somehow you stood out.
I guess so. I stood out. He goes, how old are you? I said, oh, God. I said, 49. He goes, what do people tell you? You're too old to have kids, right? You're too old to have kids, right? Because why do they say that? Why do they say that? And he's like answering his own question before I can even ask. Yeah. He goes, why do they say that? I'll tell you why they say that. They say because you'd be too old to play with them when they grow up. You'd be too old to play with them when they grow up. I say nay, nay. Because who are the best athletes in the world? Black people. And who raises them? Their grandparents. All the white people in the audience go, and the black people in the audience go, people thought it was funny, and the white people are like, ooh, that's crossing the line. But yeah, that's the last time I'll raise my hand at a concert.
Well, why did you get thrown out though? You didn't tell us.
That was
what you did.
That was a deja
that was
vu
the second
when
time.
I was at Mizzou. That was the first time. I was at Deja Vu at Mizzou, They had deja vu.
Oh, you didn't get asked to leave.
Oh, he just, no, he. Oh, they, I was thrown out, and he made the whole crowd sing na 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 hey hey goodbye. I wore a sport coat to impress a girl. We were on a double date, and we got a table right in front of the stage. And this guy was not very good.
Oh, never go.
And he goes, and you know, and he told a joke, and I guess I kind of went, oh, you know, kind of. He's like, oh, you don't think that's funny? Well, what do you do, Mr. Snappy Dresser? What do you do for a living? You know, obviously not a pimp. You know, that kind of thing. You know, he's like, you know, going on. And he kind of makes fun of my dress and my hair and everything.
Your dress? You wore a dress?
My dress, my attire.
Oh.
He was trying to impress her.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you wore a dress, I'd make fun.
And I was getting aggravated with this guy, and I was playing along, and he just kept picking on me and picking on me and picking on me. Finally goes, so what do you do for a living, Mr. Snappy Dresser? I said, I'm a critic. I go around the company, I go around the country, and I write columns about bad comedians.
Oh!
And everybody thought that was funny.
That was a good comeback.
I thought so, and he like made a hand signal to the security, and the next thing I know, these two guys have their arms underneath my armpits, and they got...
Well, that's ridiculous. He can't take a joke.
No.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it was, and he had the whole crowd sing, na 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 na, hey, hey, goodbye. And I'll never forget this. I ran home.
Crying?
No. I changed my. I had a little limey kind of beer, like a
somebody
little thin
just texted
beer at the time. And I ran home and I changed clothes because I was on a date. I really liked this girl.
Did
it was
you
like,
shave
it was our
too?
First date. I did shave. I shaved my face. I changed clothes. I got in my car. I had driven in somebody else's car. I got in my vehicle, drove back down there, and the bouncers are in front because there was a club downstairs.
And you got back in.
And they go. They go.
I remember
that story. We just kicked you out of here. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I remember that.
We just kicked you out of here. I said, no.
That's somebody else. My brother.
My brother Tom's upstairs at the comedy show. I'm Tim Woodburn. Did Tom do something wrong? They said, let me see your ID. And I showed him my ID. And I got by him. And I got back in. And then the owner who knew me, who knew of me or whatever, kicked me right. After I get through the bouncers, then he threw me out a second.
Well, wait a minute. Did they kick the girl out too?
Nope.
So she stayed?
Yeah.
While they kicked you out, mm-hmm. She didn't get up and go with you.
Nope. It was a first date, and she was way out of my league,
Bitch.
Exactly. Stand by your man.
I know exactly when it was that I learned not to volunteer, not to, I do. I mean, is the Army, basic training for the Army, the first week there. They have you, you've just been issued your fatigues, your boots, your underwear, and you're all standing in formation, and there's a sergeant. And he's sort of, you know, welcoming everybody and telling you what's going to go down here. And then he says,
what the prostate test is.
Looking for anybody who has any typing skills, who knows how to type. Now, let me tell you something. I know there's some not so pleasant stuff they have you do in the Army. KP is one when you used to be kitchen police. Anybody have any typing skills? Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. This is it. I was one of only two guys in my typing class.
KP was kitchen police?
Kitchen police.
Still is to this day.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
What's kitchen police?
It's a punishment. You do dishes and wash trash cans. You start at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you work till about 10 o'clock at night. You're scrubbing pots and pans. You're scrubbing the floor.
So you mean a kitchen porter?
Well, it's called
kitchen police.
And it's horrible, hot. Kitchen's hot work. That was a punishment. You go, that's it, KP! And you go, oh no, KP. So, we're standing there and he goes, anybody have any typing skills? And in my mind, I thought, oh, this is gonna be unbelievable. I'm gonna get to go in the captain's office and sit and type at the desk while all these other knuckleheads dig holes or whatever they do with shovels and, hard labor. And I go, Sergeant, I have some typing skills. He goes, how much? And I said, I took 2 years of typing in high school, Sergeant. I typed pretty well. He said, beautiful. And he turns to another sergeant. He says, go get the bucket. And they bring out a bucket with all these brushes. He says, you're going to clean every latrine in this building.
Oh.
It had nothing to do with typing. He was trying to just make a point.
Oh.
That will do you no good here. You're cleaning latrines. I know.
Jesus,
the first week there. Horrible.
Oh, man.
So the next time they do this too, they go, you want to here have any college at all, even if it's only a year of college? And then I knew, no, I don't. I didn't even go to grade school. Don't call on me. And of course, the guys that did go, yes, right, 2 years of college. Somebody goes, I have a bachelor's degree. Then they made them, go polish the floor with a toothbrush or something.
Oh.
Yeah, it was weird. So, welcome everybody. I forgot this is my daughter's birthday edition.
Ooh. Yeah.
She's 31 today. And You know, other than that, it's just another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Oh. No.
No, come on, you know.
I wasn't ready for it. I just typed
you
in,
you should
bitch.
Always be. You know, the Boy Scout motto is be prepared.
Always be prepared.
Be prepared. Let's go and edit that out so you don't look stupid.
Yeah, please. Thank
edit
you.
Radio edit.
My daughter's birthday, but I think to most of us, the 23rd of May is just another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
I like the way Tim laughs, but he hates that he's laughing.
No, you know why I laugh? Is because I laugh about all the people who are out there thinking, God, I can't believe he's doing that again. That's why I think it's funny.
I think they do that with about 15 different things we do every day. So, we're going to check in with Mr. Londoff.
Yes. I was going to call him. I can call him right now before the Burke segment.
Why don't we call? Yeah, let's call him now before the Burke segment. Because we actually have not spoken with him. Yes, we have, since the big win. We did. I talked to him. We talked to him the day after.
Yep.
My dad, get that out of the way.
My dad was a drill sergeant in the Army, and at his memorial last fall, there was a guy named Rick Steinberg, who still lives here in St. Louis, who got up and told a story. And he didn't know my dad, and they're both from the St. Louis area. My dad gets up there, and he goes, is anybody here from St. Louis? Next time he raises his hand, he goes, yeah, me. He goes, where are you from? He said, like, I don't remember where he said. He goes, Florissant? Florissant, get up here and give me 50 push-ups. I can't stand people from Florissant. And, like, that was his initiation into the Army.
Yeah.
Innocently answering a question, they having to do 50 push-ups.
And they trick you, because they make you think, like the sergeant gets up and goes, you know, I'm not from here. I was born in Houston, Texas. I lived all my life. And anybody ever from Houston? And you're thinking, hey, I'm from Houston.
I've got an in.
Get the hell out of here and go clean the toilet. I hate Houston. I didn't say I liked it. I just said I was born there. We have on the phone. Dana, you're right. I don't think we have spoken with him since the.
No, we haven't.
That was Monday night. And he hasn't been with us. But he's with us now. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear that music, I hope it makes you want to see the USA, in your Chevrolet from Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Would you please welcome, bring him on out here, Johnny Londoff. I was mistaken. I thought we had spoken since the big win, 5-1, but we haven't. This is the first time we've actually spoken, so feel free. Don't take more than about a minute, because I think we've kind of burned it up, and we're saving the rest for Monday night.
I mean, that's like, feel free, but, 60 seconds or less.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I was saying. We've only been waiting for 49 years, and you're going to give me 60 seconds.
Now, if I remember, you graciously gave your tickets to your boys or something. You didn't go to the game, right?
Right, right.
That would have been... Ooh.
And I did, John, I did give you props. When I sent you a text after that hand pass thing, and you said, don't worry, those cheating so-and-sos, we're going to win the next three games, and we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yes. It was great. It was great watching the handshakes, and, again, the great thing about that game is they try to beat each other's brains in. Mm. The Blues just did a much better job. And then when San Jose was crying, trying to get two of the Blues suspended for the game because of their hits. It's hockey. Okay? It's a tough game. It's not a game for everybody, even to watch it, you know? But at those speeds, and we kicked their butt. We outscored them 12-2 in the last three games. Come on. I mean, that was great. Good stuff. But, again, a lot of those games might have been closer than the scores. Our defense and goaltending, that whole team played great. And, being lucky enough to have a really good relationship, close with Pat Maroon, who my great friend Jimmy Sappho said, hey, when he signed a one-year deal, he goes, I think we need to get the St. Louis guy and wrap him up. For spots, for, marketing and appearances here with the employees. I mean, he's a big kid. He's a big guy. But, man, he's got a heart of gold. And, I don't know if there's anyone on that team. Of course, they're all excited and happy. But he's doing it for his town.
I didn't realize till night before last, but my daughter, who's engaged to be married in October, her fiancé and Pat Maroon, played roller hockey together in high school and were best friends. He has his cell phone number, and I said, oh, is he going to call him again? She said he would never do that. He would never call him that because she said that's what everybody does. Everybody. Hey, Pat, remember me? She said he's not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't do it. And he's bought the vehicles for me, but he's driving a vehicle. And
I do.
And, no, good stuff. Great for this town. Great for our city. The NHL will be here Saturday and Monday. So the first two games in Boston. And we are absolutely the best road team in hockey. And I think it's good that we're starting on the road. And this team's just, I mean, my God, it's just unbelievable. It is. Great coaching.
Help me understand some of you. This coach is like an interim coach. I mean, isn't that unbelievable? He comes in, and again, I may be wrong. I don't know just much about this stuff. Yeah, Phil, to come in and take over this losing team at the beginning of the season, and look what happened. Is this guy going to get the job? Is he going to be offered?
Oh, I would imagine he will.
I would think so.
Well, he may not want to. He's going to be a free agent when this is over, there may be other teams that go after him.
Berube,
what a great position to be in.
Sure.
And Dan is the guy who would ask for tickets.
Dan, I would. Where's the betting line? Because I will bet that. Let's see how things play out here in these next few games. Which I'm feeling, optimistic. Obviously, just excited for an old fart like me. I mean, this is pretty cool. I mean, I've loved hockey from the first team. That came, into St. Louis in the old barn. And I used to go with my pop and wear a clip-on tie.
I remember those.
Coat. Man, I look like a goober.
Yeah, everybody did.
Goober. this town is, first of all, it's a great town. It's a great sports town. I don't care how many people want to try to kick us in the teeth, better together, whatever you want to say. There's a lot of good. Why would almost 40... ex-NHL hockey players settle and raise their families in St. Louis. And they're from all over Canada and the world. Keith Tkachuk from Boston. No, he loves St. Louis because of the people. Not only the fans, but just, people actually having, manners, saying hi, goodbye, thank you, opening doors for women, stuff like that. We almost slipped in the SHA word, sorry.
Yeah, right. I got an email this morning from somebody. He said, he said my boss went to Las Vegas before the hockey season, and he said I gave my boss money and said, bet, just go ahead, take the long shot, bet this money on the Blues to win. And he said, I just found out. He said, because he asked his boss, he goes, hey, I'm at that bet you place for me. $25,000 would have been the payoff if they get the cup. His boss finally admitted he forgot to make the bet.
Oh, no.
He said, I forgot to do it. He said, hey, my boss just cost me $25,000.
Wow.
Yeah. What are you going to do, though? He's your boss.
Yeah, you can't, right. You say, hey, if they win, you owe me $25,000.
No, you don't say that to your boss. No, you don't do that. Dan is the guy, by the way, who would ask for tickets. Dan will probably find a way to get a hold of Pat Maroon and then say, Pat, you don't know me, but I work with a guy whose daughter is engaged to a friend of yours in high school. Can I have some tickets?
Hey,
well,
Tim.
I would use that angle, but I also use... Hold on, I'll let you speak in a second.
Yeah, thank you.
But I will... I would also use that a friend of mine runs Oakville Hockey and was running Oakville Hockey when Pat Maroon
that's a good one.
Was in there. My daughter was an Oakville Hockey cheerleader and went to Oakville to graduate.
That's strong. What do you have, Lyman?
A listener just texted over that Berube is not a free agent after this year. He's actually signed with the Blues for next year as it is the assistant coach. But during the summer, they will sign into an extension and he will be named the head coach. Is that right?
All I can say is that Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues on this very station, talked about that subject about a month ago and disagrees with whoever texted in.
He said that
Craig Berube's going to be a hot commodity. I'm just saying.
Awkward.
And Berube's up for coach of the year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's just talk about game one Monday night in Boston, and they're going to open up the Enterprise Center again. for a watch party. And I think they're going to have a screen on the outside of the Enterprise for the home games. And the Fox Sports Midwest guys, John Kelly, J.K., and Darren Pang, the Panger, and they will be there doing, you know, a broadcast, and it'll be on Fox Sports. Again, 49 years. There are so many Blues hockey fans. They weren't born. They weren't born until after 1970. But I remember. And then getting to know Noel Picard, God rest his soul, just an unbelievable human being. Anytime he would start to talk about Barkley Plager, he would start to sob in my office. When he'd come in town for a couple of weeks to visit his family, I'd give him a vehicle to drive. And he would say...
You give a lot of people vehicles to drive. I bought mine.
How many goals have you scored?
None yet. None yet.
But anytime Noel would start to talk about Barkley Plager, and then he would slip into some French, you know, and I mean, it was just for a big man. I mean, a big man, very emotional. But he talked about that pitchfork that he gave to Bobby Orr after Bobby Orr scored the winning goal to Boston Bruins won that series in four games. So, you know, there's trivia. We've been in three Stanley Cup finals. We have not won a game.
Have you spent much time in Boston or the East Coast? Have you been up there much?
Yeah, I've been to Boston. Mm-hmm.
I don't like it up there. I don't like the East Coast.
Well, I mean, Boston, it's a great city. Come on. Man. It's a great city. You can say the same thing about New York. You know,
I don't like it either.
For a few days. It's just so busy, so big.
You like Sage? That's East.
I do love walking the sidewalks because
That was a laugh.
Tim, doesn't lie.
Look at go to the tape.
Thank you.
The mic doesn't lie. Laugh.
Go to the tape.
All right, I'm done.
Hey, it worked.
You can't clear your throat or
not on this show.
Anything similar to clearing your throat.
No, you'll pay for it.
Should I clear my throat?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Try it.
Go ahead.
Nope, not
going to
do it.
Hey, John, you know what Frank said on the air yesterday, though, that I don't know if you're aware of this or not? Frank says that there is a college in this country that is offering a scholarship for duck calling.
Yeah, I read the article 2 days ago.
Did you know
that?
I didn't know that, but I'm a little too old for it, probably, but, you know.
See, if you'd had that skill when you were younger, you could have gone to Harvard or something.
You could be a professor.
See, I saved him.
Go to Harvard.
You could be a professor at that college, John.
Me going to Harvard is like putting perfume on a pig. Are you kidding me? I was right where I needed to be down at Southern Methodist University. That was even probably too nice for me. Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, where they would wear the khaki pants all starch and their shirts had double extra heavy starch. And I'm like, I got jeans and a t-shirt on.
Nice. Does anybody use starch anymore? You remember? My mother had a can of spray starch at the ironing board, and everything got starch. You know, collars and sleeves.
Does anyone tuck their shirts in any longer?
I really don't think so. Unless you have to touch it up, there's one big bad wrinkle. I don't think people do.
I still iron my shirt every now and again before I go out.
Now let me ask you, John. Did your mother ever hang out clothes on the clothesline?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. No,
my dad still does.
My mom taught me how to do laundry. Let's see, I was in high school, so this would have been 15. Cause she was like football gear. She wasn't touching that nasty. It stunk, and I do agree. And back then, you had like a little bag you'd put all your stinky stuff in, and
the hockey bag, hockey stuff. Mama.
Yeah, no, that wasn't allowed anywhere near.
No.
God love Mimi Lana. I mean, you know, she's a hockey mom. I mean, all the boys played. Two boys, John the Third and Harry, still play all the time. She used to watch me play hockey when I was, and she'd bring a book and a blanket. I'm like, hey, did you see that one play? And she goes, no, sorry, I was reading my book. And I'm like, well, if you're not going to like watch me play, well, why are you coming? You know, we're dating. She goes, because you asked me to.
Oh.
Well, she's a sweet girl, but I mean a great hockey mom, too. One time, little Harry Lonoff wanted to play goal, and our team was up 4-0, and then 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, with every goal that was scored against her little boy, she kept sliding further and further away up in the stands at the Webster Groves Ice Complex, further and further away from the group of fans, you know, parents from our team. I could just, I'm coaching, and I'm looking, I could tell, oh my God, she's dying. She's up there with every goal scored against him. She's just, and then when they tied it up 4-4, and a good friend of mine, God rest his soul, Steve Troll, great hockey guy, phenomenal hockey guy, tough guy, but great hockey guy, did so much for youth hockey in this town, and unfortunately passed away of a heart attack playing hockey, playing the game that he loved the most.
What I'm about to do is probably bad judgment, but you know how they, when you speak and you hear yourself, a lot of people never heard themselves, like on a recording. Do I sound like that? Everybody says that. Do I sound like that? Right. And sometimes we don't realize how we sound. You snorted earlier, John.
Yeah, while you were talking.
It's funny, when you snort, hang on. This is where, I'm a friend. This is what friends do. When you snort, it sounds just like somebody passing gas. Play him snorting. That was you snorting a while ago. It just sounds just like something else. Ooh.
That was weird.
Hello?
give us a call. 311.
Yeah, we will.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Give us that number again.
314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. So Harry's lined up. The fourth goal was scored against him. We couldn't talk him out of the goal. He was completely in the goal. And I mean, he was only about, you know, I don't know, inches tall, right?
I thought that even story was over.
All the equipment. And so Steve Crow and I are like, we're trying not to laugh. And Steve gave him a nickname of Harold when he was coaching him. Harold, get out of the net. And he's shaking his head no. Come on, we're like trying not to laugh. Harry, it's okay. We'll win this game. And he's shaking his head no. And when finally he comes out, you know, to stand, you know, in the crease. And he is not happy. He's got his head down. Luckily, Allison Weisenfeld scores a goal with like 33 seconds left, and we win the game 5-4. Woo! After the game, Mimi's in the lobby. She's in the lobby. She grabbed me. She goes, never again. I'm like, what are you talking about? He can't play goal. I can't take it. She goes, I cannot take it. I'm sorry. So that goes out to all the great hockey moms and dads. And I've gotten to know Jaden Schwartz's dad really, really well. Ricky Schwartz through a business insurance broker out of Minnesota. But, you know, just to imagine watching your kid with the
high level. My God, are you still talking?
Well, I thought I would add a little something to the show because I heard it's been pretty boring.
Well, it has been boring. It's been boring for 22 years.
All right. Goodbye.
Oh, no. God,
no. Hey, by the way, we're open all weekend. And we are closed Memorial Day to honor those that have kept this great country what it is. So, but we'll be back then after a big weekend. We'll be back hard at it next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Close the month out. So I'll talk to you next week.
We'll be here. And you and I really are supposed to go to dinner pretty soon. Will you let me know next week when you want to do that?
You buying?
Sure, why not?
I'm in.
Okay, I knew it. All right, John.
All right. Thank you. See you. Bye-bye.
Just to put a bow on this, with this texter that called in, that Limey thinks all the texters are 100% accurate.
I'm just letting you know what they say.
Here we go.
Tim's butt hurt.
You're telling me that the texter says you're wrong.
Summer down.
Sound violin ready.
I texted Chris Kerber. I texted Chris Kerber and I said, I'm relaying info I heard you say on 590 a while back about Berube being a coaching commodity after the season with a lot of vacancies. Is he a free agent after the playoffs or not? Need help having live controversy on the air right now. His response.
Live controversy.
His response. I guess officially yes, but we don't know if conversations between him and Doug. Army said 2 weeks ago the vacancy list for the Blues is down to one. I would say technically yes, he would be a free agent. Thank you.
Let it go. Let it go, Limey. Just let it go.
Man, I'm just wondering who you're trying to prove is
no,
right
no,
here.
No, let it go.
Are you
let
having
it,
a go at me?
Let it go.
No.
Simmer
down.
Here's what you say. Here's what you say. It's like being married. You're right, Tim. That's what you say.
Simmer down.
Okay, right. Tim, you're right.
It's a little butthub, but okay.
Let's go back to the tape. Oh, Tim, a texter just called you to say you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, boy. That was his impression of you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not very good.
Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Hey, does anybody have anything to say?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing?
No.
Dan? Merch segment? Nothing?
No, I don't. I think we discussed it earlier. everything.
I'm almost afraid to ask Tim.
Tim, anything? No?
Why are you afraid to ask me, Frank?
Well, I don't know.
Because you butt hurt right now?
He's has something about Berube.
Oh, I just got a text from Bill Cleveland.
Stop needling.
Come on, sick.
He's needling.
He can't wait for 6
Stop the needling.
Well, we can't close the Burke segment because we didn't open it.
I think somebody who is going to work on my car, and I don't know enough about cars, but I may need the problem solvers.
We want them now?
I could use the problem solvers.
Well, then you want us, because we are.
For two reasons.
The problem solvers.
Let's have it.
Problem one is, when you get butt hurt, how do you respond? How do you rally from that? Because I've
with less attitude.
Oh, okay. You know, that's all I got to do?
Shake it off and move on.
Cool.
There you go.
Good. Number two, I don't know very much about repair of vehicles, but I have a vehicle that was looked at by an auto body shop, and they told me that I needed rear brake pads, and it was down to 1/32nd of an inch on the pad. I said, fine. I schedule a repair. When they send me the ticket on the email of reminding me of my scheduled maintenance, they say, you need pads and rotors.
I said,
well, that's not what you told me. You told me all I needed pads. I said, well, how much are the pads going to be? They said, well, we don't know until we take the wheel off and measure the size of pad that you need.
That's not true.
Well, what? If you don't know what size pad I need, then how do you know that I need new rotors?
That's not true.
Well, what? Am I getting ripped off?
Yes.
And here's the thing. That's the perfect category to rip people off in. We don't know anything about pads and rotors. It's so easy to take advantage of people with that stuff. What do we know?
First of all, it's all online. You look it up. You look up what your car is. And then it gives them a part number, pad.
That's exactly what I would do. I'd go one other place, and if what they say matches exactly, okay. If not, I'd never go back to that first place.
I have a place for you to go to check, and it's in your neck of the woods. It's not far from you at all. And they are totally honest. I was just there today.
And I have a place that I've dealt with forever.
It might be the same place.
I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars there. It is the most reputable, and I can't mention them. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you why. I have wanted to get them on the air and speak for them for years, and the owner hates me.
Why?
I don't know.
As much money you spend with him, and he hates you?
I don't get it. His managers have told him, said, hey, this guy should be our spokesman. He's a great customer. No, he doesn't like me. Nobody knows why. And he won't return my calls. I've tried to call him. He's go, why do you hate me? He won't talk to me.
Well, these guys are AM.
But I will give you their name off the air. Folks, if you email me, I will not share the name. I'm not giving them any free publicity anymore. Do you know that I went on the air years ago and I said something about this place, and I said, what a absolutely honest, dependable place, and I went on and on. They had somebody pull a copy and they played it at their manager's meeting, and they got a lot of locations. They got it and said, this is exactly the kind of publicity and advertising we need, yet we're not going to hire him because he didn't like me. So I don't know. You never know. You could tell a joke. I could have told one joke that for some reason. And it could be something so innocent. I'll give you an example. Let's say I told a joke about a guy coming out of a bar, and he can't find his keys, and he finally gets his car unlocked, and he gets pulled over by the police. That joke could be heard that day by somebody whose kid just got killed by a drunk driver. So they're sensitive about, you think drunk driving's funny? No, I think that joke is funny. I've had things like that happen where a joke, which to most people is just a joke, was taken. You want a really good example?
Sure.
I had a guy, actually, without saying it, threatened to kill me. He did it in ways where he knew he couldn't be prosecuted. He did it through mail and through phone calls, and it went on for a long, long time.
You're talking about like with the magazine cutout letters and stuff, or just handwritten?
No, he would take like a picture of me and mail it to me with an arrow through my head with blood, red ink, blood dripping out of my head.
Home or to your work?
To a work.
Wow.
Whoa.
Now, he would, there's a lot more to it, but I finally had about enough of it, so I get a private investigator, Tim, I didn't know you then.
Mm-hmm.
I get a St. Louis County police officer, I get somebody in the post office, and I get somebody at the time, Southwestern Bell, to track the calls. And we found, finally, who it was. And it is the weirdest thing. He was a single 40-year-old guy who was a caregiver for an elderly woman. His boss was the elderly woman's son. It lived in a really nice house in Huntley Woods or someplace.
Ooh.
And when they finally sat him down and said, why have you spent so much energy and time trying to scare this guy and threaten him? And he finally admitted that he's gay. And he heard me say something one day. I told a joke, and he didn't like it. And then he also said, and one day he said about a celebrity, he said, oh, you know he's gay. And that just set him off. Well, I remember this. I don't remember celebrity, but I remember it was true. It's like Elton John. Well, you know he's gay. But he, for some reason, didn't, yeah, you never know, man.
Not his thing.
You never know. All right, Burke's segment's not closed because we didn't open it. Scott Sherman will be here after the news. Did you see the latest person who's been accused of improper touching and stuff?
Is it now?
No.
Tony Robbins.
Who?
Tony Robbins?
Yeah, do you not know who he is?
I mean, I can't picture. Oh,
he's
wait,
in Shallow Hell.
He's a
motivational speaker.
Yes.
He's the guy with the massive teeth.
Yes
he's got twice as many teeth as he should have, mm-hmm. And he's not an attractive guy. He's kind of a horse face guy. But buddiness, he rake in the money, and now some chicks have come forward, I think five of them, and said, oh, yeah, he touched my breast one time. Well, really? I've touched women's breasts when I didn't mean to touch them. Right.
Right.
Everybody's done that. You go to turn, you go, whoa.
Well, I mean, are they talking about, like, you know, a careful graze with an elbow or just a full-on
hump?
Well,
they say they were taking a picture with him, and it was obvious that he was, I believe the words were, cupping the side of my breast.
A full-on honk.
What's wrong with that? That's an
there anybody. A full-on honk.
And then another woman said that he...
visual imagery, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He had her, like, at somebody's hotel room or something, and he... she was... somehow or other, she was in a shower, and he gets into her room and walks in, unzips his pants and shows her his wiener while she's in the shower. Mm. What's wrong with that? So now he's the latest. And if you're going to pick a target... That guy's got a boatload of money.
Wikipedia says he's worth $500 million.
Well, let me tell you why. Years ago, I told this a long time ago, my wife and I landed at an airport somewhere in California. And the girl at the counter, we're going to get her back. She says, oh, man. She said, be glad you weren't here earlier today. When everybody was leaving town after the Tony Robbins seminar, and I said, oh, Tony, I know who that is, Tony Robbins. She said, yeah. It was a three-day seminar. Now think about these numbers. 10,000 people paid $5,000 a piece to spend three whole days. Get a calculator.
What?
Get a calculator. 10,000 times 5,000. What does that take us?
Don't get to carry the six.
A lot of money.
That's $50
million. Yeah, $50 million for a three-day seminar. And she said 5,000 people attended. I'm sorry, 10,000 at $5,000 apiece. That's some big money.
Wow.
Where was this at?
It was in Palm Springs, California.
Wow.
Not a big airport. And... she said all of these rich people had flown in, and the general aviation is what they call it, where the private jets, Travolta and his people, full of planes and full of rich people.
Yeah, but you figure after all the meals and the staffing and everything, he probably only cleared about $49 million.
Now, that's true. I'll never forget
but
that.
But how could you help that many people?
You can't.
Like, you know, 10,000
helping anybody.
People.
Helping himself.
That's just standing in a stadium and, like, just...
You ever hear
stuff.
Him speak? He's one of these guys that gets up and goes, you know, you can do anything you want to do, you can be anybody you want to be. No, you can't.
It's common sense stuff that he spews out.
Like Oprah. Oprah has another book out.
Yeah.
And in the book, I was reading a little bit about the book, and Oprah says, you know, you can overcome any adversity and you can handle it and you can do it. No, Oprah, some people can't. You know, and when people say, you know, God never gives you more than you can handle, sometimes he does. He just does. I know people who are so... there was a guy in the news this morning, and he is PTSD, and he has some brain damage, three IEDs. He was a victim of three of these things that blew up. And his wife has to constantly care for him. And while she's caring for him, she gets cancer. Now, let me tell you something. Mm. Some people just get a bad hand dealt to them. And I don't care what Tony Robbins says, you can't positively think your way out of that or make that go away.
You can't think cancer away.
Let me write that down. You can't think cancer away.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Feel free to use it whenever.
That was very sincere when he said that, though.
It was sincere. It was very sincere. All right. We have Scott Sherman, as I said, the 4 o'clock hour. Bob Ibach will be on again right after Scott Sherman, let's say 4:50 or so, to tell you again about this offer from Nyko Sports, the hockey puck collection, the 5 hockey pucks, commemorative hockey pucks. So he's going to $99, which in the world of rip-offs and things that cost too much, that sounds actually very reasonable to me. I've seen some of the stuff they produce. It's really well done, display cases. So if you're a Blues fan or somebody in your family is, this would be a great, you know, if you don't mind spending $100, be a great thing to buy and hold and give somebody as a gift or even for Christmas, and they don't see it coming. They have no idea. And there are only 5,000 of them in the whole wide world. There's a new Uber feature that we will talk about, which I find very interesting. We'll go through that later. And I saw Tom Hanks this morning.
In person?
Isn't it funny how you don't realize how much time has gone by, and Tom Hanks actually looks like most other people his age now.
Yeah.
He just looks like an older guy. And you look at him and go, well, you're not supposed to look like that. It's like Sean Connery. I go, Sean, I want to say, you're not supposed to look like that.
You still see him as Sean Connery, James Bond,
yes,
Sean Connery?
Yeah. With dark black chest hair and, you know, babes hanging off his arm. And no, he doesn't look like that anymore. And Tom Hanks, the reason I mentioned it, there will be a Toy Story 4.
I know.
And I've seen 1 and 2. I don't think I saw 3.
Oh, 3's great.
But I'm going to tell you, I don't know how anybody, any age, could watch Toy Story and not get a big kick out of it.
Oh,
that is
great.
A terrific series of movies. And I didn't want to watch it. I think because I thought, well, it's like a
kids
anime
movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, it came out when I was like 8 or 9, but I've watched all of them.
But it's got so many adult sort of innuendos in it that it's, if you've never, folks, if you've never seen Toy Story,
mm-hmm,
I highly recommend you watch Toy Story. And I, because of my grandson, I did the same thing with Jungle Book. Jungle Book came out, the animated version, and I don't want to go see that. And I went. I watched it twice. It's a have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen both of them.
It's fantastic. Those animals, honest to God, they look like real tigers.
You got Scarlett Johansson as the snake and everything.
But see,
and,
that, I don't get that because I didn't know that's who it was. And who cares who the voice of the snake
is? I just thought she did a really good job.
Yeah.
Sounded creepy.
You like her, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I can tell. All right.
And if you want,
let me remodel a kitchen or bathroom here. Hold that thought. And
I'm going to have to get you one of these.
How come only I get it?
Because he's told me about it in the past.
No, fair game. Everybody should equal. Everybody gets treated equally here. Thompson Price Kitchens and Baths has a showroom in De Pere. It's a really nice showroom. But guess what? In about, what is this, almost June, July, in 2 or 3 months, that space will belong to somebody else, and it'll be something else, because Thompson Price is building, and they're doing it now. It's work in progress. A brand new showroom in Chesterfield Valley, down in the valley.
Valley so low, hang your head over, hear the wind blow.
Thank you so much. It'll be sort of west, the west end of Chesterfield Valley. And it's a whole new concept in kitchen and bath showrooms. In fact, I shouldn't say plural because it'll be probably the only one of its kind. And everybody's going to take notice and probably want a copy, but they can't because they're not Thompson Price. There'll be more samples of cabinet doors and more color combinations and more door styles and more fixtures. Make a point to go to the current showroom because, folks, everything in there pretty much is on sale. And it's on sale at tremendous savings because they don't want to move all that stuff out west. This is the time. The time to start the project. Kitchen and bath remodeling. Do it right. You've never in your life been sorry because you did something right and because you went to the best to get it done. Never. You've had other regrets, but that's not one of them. Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Showroom again, De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. ThompsonPrice.com. 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590TheFan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dean Muccio. Stocks are tumbling at the close on Wall Street over renewed trade fears. At the closing bell today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 286 points to 25,490. The Nasdaq fell 122 points.